Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
For good.
Welcome to the Biz for Good show. I am your host, Bobby Glenn James, along with the Ryan Pilkington.
Booyah.
Welcome to the show. And of course, today is our special day, EFL 360 Founders Roundtable.
I thought Saturday was a special day. Today we got ready for Sunday, but hey, I'm glad to be here too.
Right on.
Awesome. Ryan, tell us what we're in store for today.
Yeah, we're sitting down with the founders of EFL 360, and we'll be talking about creating connections in a noisy world, specifically marketing.
And noisy world. Oh, I'm excited to talk about that because it is a noisy world.
Never been noisier.
Oh, absolutely.
At the end of each month, we like to sit down with the founders of EFL 360, dedicated educators, leaders, and passionate business owners doing good and helping entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders. Each month, we go deep in how to move our business forward each month. So, a warm welcome to Jay, Kevin.
The Jay Taylor, Bobby. The Kevin Taylor. Two people that I actually always remember their names, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And Bobby James. I've even messed up my name. So I think the last time we did Founders, I said Bobby Jones. So
Bobby Jones?
That's really bad when
welcome,
you don't know
welcome
your
back, calling. Bobby Jones.
I kind of like that,
Bobby. And he's sporting a really cool mic today.
Yes. As usual, we're making do with the technology. So we make things work, right?
Right on.
All right. We want to thank our sponsors at this moment with MazumaUSA.com.
MazumaUSA.com.
We'd like to introduce the biggest thing to happen to the accounting industry since 1495, Bobby.
1495.
Wow. It's Mazuma Bookkeeping and Taxes. And if you own a small business, it's about to change everything. Mazuma was established to focus solely on you, the small business owner. Here's how it works. Step one, send your statements to the docs to Mazuma. That's it. They do all the rest. They do all the bookkeeping for you, and they even file your taxes.
Both personal and business taxes. All included.
Exactly.
It's like an all-inclusive stay at
a resort.
Yeah, at a resort.
Well, is there going to be food?
Yeah, there would. I bet there would be.
This provides optimal returns every time. And here's the best part. It's only $75 a month. And so $75, you get your own accounting department. You can trust Mazuma. Call now. Set up a free consultation at 866-575-9100. And you can also go to MazumaUSA.com.
MazumaUSA.com.
Be compliant, be organized, and save on taxes. Mazuma, changing everything about running a small business.
Awesome. We love those guys.
Mazuma, M-A-Z-U-M-A, USA.com.
Thank you, Jay. And so then we have special partners of the show. Go ahead.
Special partners of the show, EFL 360, of course. With EFL 360 Weekly, we meet every week at the Miller Campus, room 333. So come show up. And also Speak Up Professional Speaker Studio, speakupspeakers.com. If you want to be a speaker, you are a speaker, you think you're a speaker, you're not sure if you're a speaker, you think you have a message, you're not sure if you have a message, come check out speakupspeakers.com.
Awesome. All right, so we started this podcast with a question. You're looking at me funny.
Am I?
That's Bobby Jones.
Oh, that's Bobby Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Everyone look at Ryan.
Look at Ryan funny.
Okay, Ryan, what's going on?
How was it?
Where are we headed? Take us there.
This is awesome. Take us home. Started this podcast with what in mind, Bobby? What was our
goal?
Our goal on this.
I don't know. You just said, Bobby, let's start talking to people and have some fun.
Yeah.
No, actually the goal is people doing good in the world with business, because we talk about, people talk about cutthroat business owners, and you know they're out for themselves and they want to make millions, blah blah blah. But truthfully, most people are motivated by doing good in the world, and most people are drawn as a customer and a client to people that are doing good in the world. And we want people to know there's a lot of that going on.
So we're spot and lining as much as this we can, right?
Absolutely. And
it's been a blast, right?
It has been a blast.
We've met some amazing people.
There are a ton of awesome people out there doing good in the world.
For
amazing.
Sure.
Amazing. And we ain't even.
We ain't even touched
the surface, baby. That's right.
We just want to thank the guests that we've had on. We're on episode 30.
This is 3-0, baby!
We reached a benchmark here, so that's awesome.
I was at a podcast thing last week, and they asked him, when did you really start to get the hang of things? And he said, it really took till after episode 20 to even be close. So, dude, we're 10 after that.
Yeah.
We're like professionals now.
We're like...
And his guests, we're at episode 3, so we got a long way to go.
Oh, wow. Is that it? Just 3?
Is it?
The third time.
This is the 3rd EFL Founders Roundtable.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. Watch that grow.
Yeah. So we're going to have Mike Angelaria. I can't say his name very well. Mike Angelaria.
Next week. He is the founder of I Am...
Humans of
Salt Lake.
And then after that, we're going to have our first music guest.
Rage? Against the lady?
No.
What's her
Robin name? Cage.
Robin Cage. See, that's why you introduce and you talk about people.
Not Rage Against the Lake.
Rage Against the Lake. Rage Against the Salt Lake. That's a cool band. You see them. They play live. Yeah. Man, that was great.
Somebody's dying.
We're dying here, Ryan. Pull us back in.
All right. So if you're new to the show, we like to have fun, as you can tell, right? We like to have fun. So come for the ride for the next 30,
Kevin,
right?
And Kevin and Jay keep coming back.
They keep coming
three
back.
Three times now.
They really like it.
Pay is that good.
Unless Jay's just looking for food every time.
Yeah, it is what it is. One of these days we're going to have a big old sandwich.
So keep teasing me. Keep telling me it'll be here.
The only thing is you won't be able to eat it while we're recording. Wasn't that like Sisyphus's thing where it's like we're going to put it right in front of you and you can never touch it? Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're talking Greek, aren't you? Yeah. You're talking Greek gods now.
He's talking Greek to us.
Ooh, that's cool. Talking Greek.
All right.
Even better. You guys are sharp people here.
We're going to turn the time to the segments.
Oh. Thanks for that, audience. See, the audience is over there. You can't see them. Great people.
We're going to start with our biz hack. And this is one that I want some help with. This past week, I've been just totally overwhelmed with so many things on my table. So we're going to look at how to be productive when you're overwhelmed.
I do like that title, because we do get over, especially as business owners, overwhelmed is a big thing. I mean, when we're working 80 and 90 hours a week, you get a little overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to hear this biz hack.
All right, yeah, we'll just go from the beginning here. Know that your reaction is normal.
That's normal?
That is normal.
Thank you, Bobby, for stepping away from the mic.
Yeah. I tried to pull it in a little.
A little. That is not normal.
What?
There's nothing normal about us.
Right, that one don't work for us, man.
All right.
We don't fit that
but,
mold.
But that's important to look at, that I'm not different, you know, because then we get into a self-judgment. You know, we get to accept that overwhelm is normal, but we can shift. We can change our attitude towards the overwhelm, towards that.
Yeah, and if you acknowledge it. Hey, yeah. I'm overwhelmed. Now I can breathe and move through it.
Awareness.
Yep.
All right, the next one is take a breath. Now, we've talked about this many times.
Absolutely.
Take a breath.
And, you know, that could look different to different people. There's always those who talk about breathing techniques and being breathing, you know, and breathing. But for some people, that means get out of the room, get out of the office, step outside, take a quick walk, take a drive, get up and pour yourself. Yeah. You know,
do a morning hike with the Adventure SLC.
With Adventure SLC.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I was getting very frustrated. I just got up and took the dog for a walk. Just
So know what your deep breath is, because your deep breath might be different than somebody else's.
Absolutely. I love it.
Prioritized and then creatively prioritized. Wow, that's a tongue twister.
Prioritize and then creatively prioritize.
Ooh. Say that 10 times fast. Don't do that.
He's like, no, I just challenged him. Don't do it.
And a lot of times,
I was going to try it, and it was not going to be perfect.
we prioritize in terms of deadlines. We prioritize, you know, because somebody else makes their priorities. And I think the creatively prioritize in the sense of overwhelm is, do we get done first what's overwhelming us? Even if that isn't the number one thing on the list in terms of a deadline, if we're able to get that done, then can we calm down and move into everything else?
Or when we say creatively, it makes me think, do we prioritize what is going to create the biggest difference?
Ooh,
it may not be the first thing on the list.
That's very creative, Kevin.
But is this going to create the biggest difference? That should be my number one.
Yeah.
Wow. I think both of them. And that's why I prioritize and then creatively prioritize.
Love it. Both pieces.
Yeah.
Start with the easy stuff.
I love that. Because sometimes when you get overwhelmed, you're frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could just do one little thing, it's like getting the wheel going, right? If you could just get that one little thing done, oh, then it starts moving and things get easier. I know I get there where I get frozen and I'm like, I just can't do anything. If I just do that small thing, then I can move. I love that. I do that all the time. Just say, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this goofy little small thing that's going to get me moving.
You told me once to do at least three things, at least off of a list.
Every day?
Just at least three. Yeah.
Simple things
that you can
do every day. Write them down. Thanks for reminding me of that. I need to start doing that again.
Keep you accountable, Bob.
Yeah.
Accountable and Bobby. Bobby Glenn James is back in the studio. You know, Ryan, though, but doing one thing, particularly where you're talking about overwhelm and how you felt this week and how we feel from time to time.
Yeah.
And I know I feel that and that overwhelm. And sometimes it's just doing it, right? You know, we can't change what we refuse to confront.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to step into the storm and get a little wet in order to move forward, move through it.
What if you're facing three deadlines in the same day? What do you do?
Just run. Just run away.
Panic.
Yeah, panic and run away.
You know, we talked about
Jay
that,
will
though.
Have something actually good to say.
You know, legitimately, and we talked once, you know, we're in that space, and we're not going to make the deadlines, and we need to communicate with ourselves, but communicate with those we have the deadlines with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, you know, look to our clients and say, hey, who am I going to, you know, handle at 1 o'clock? Who am I going to handle at 4 o'clock? Who am I going to handle at 7 o'clock? Or do what we can do at the beginning of the day, because that would lessen the stress.
Yeah.
If all day long we work till 5 o'clock and don't get any of the deadlines done,
yeah.
But what if we get one deadline done, but somebody can wait till tomorrow for the second?
Yeah.
So communication is critical.
And that's what I ended up doing.
Communicating with the person you have deadlines with.
Because
if they know you're working hard and they know you're not forgetting about them or pushing them off, that it's just, hey, I want to do this right for you. I mean, they appreciate that, mm-hmm. and they'll connect with it.
Let me toss out one of the crazy idea.
Sure.
What if you get one of those deadlines done the day before?
Oh, he's saying be proactive. Oh.
Kevin is, he is, yeah. Oh. The brains of the outfit, with the Professor Taylor here. Uh-huh.
No, it's much better to push it off until the last minute.
Oh,
it's so much less stressful when you... when you just finish it really quick.
My son Riley is listening. He didn't mean that, Riley. That's not true.
Procrastination is an entrepreneur's...
worst night.
Yes, it is definitely not a beautiful thing. Thank you, Kevin, for the voice of reason.
All right, we have a few more here. Use your teammates. Use timers. Take 5 or 20 minutes. Any one of those you want to tackle.
I like the teammates piece. You can't do anything alone. Not anything good.
Mm-hmm. You know, the timers, I've read a lot about the Pomodoro technique, which apparently is Italian for tomato. And I think
good tomato technique.
It comes about because somebody had a tomato-shaped kitchen timer, and they just wound it up to 25 minutes, put it on the desk, and said, I'm going to work until that dings. And when it dings, I'm taking 5 minutes, I'm breathing, I'm, you know, walking the dog, whatever.
Hmm.
But they started to realize how productive they could be with a focus 25 and then walk away and then come back and set the timer again and do it again. And so, you know, when we talk about use a timer, I think there's a lot of power in that that a lot of us don't get because we just think, I got to plow through for the next 3 hours straight. Hmm. And it's so hard to tell, so hard for me to tell myself, I'm going to stay focused for 3 hours.
Yeah, I get distracted.
Yeah. But if I know I've got until this thing dings at me, go. And, you know, you know then, I can check my email at that point. I can make a call back. I can do whatever I need. And it's only 25, 15, 7. Oh, hey, time for email.
I like it. I like it.
All right, any more comments before we go into the next portion?
All right. That's a good bit. Good biz hot.
Hack.
If only I could speak.
Thanks, Bobby Jones. Hack.
Yes, Bobby Jones.
All right, you can redeem yourself right now. Oh, we're going to do some personal stories that we've had, either doing good or giving back, getting back served to us. Okay. In lieu of recent events that's facing our nation, I think it's time to focus on service and how we serve each other and how I see that every day in my life. So you want to start off?
Me?
Yep. You had a Thanksgiving
one. Oh, yeah, I had a Thanksgiving one. So one year, me and my wife had this bright idea that we'd get a bunch of friends and neighbors together, and we'd tell them to come to our house, and we were going to do something. And so we had quite a big group. It was really awesome. We had probably 20-something people with kids and everything. And then we broke into three teams, and we said, okay, you're going to go out into the world, and you're going to create three Thanksgiving dinners, whole dinners for three families. And we had a little piece of paper that you could go up to people and ask them, hey, do you have any of these items? And this is what we need for this dinner. And we did it. It was the coolest thing. It was interesting. You know, you go to people's houses and you knock on the door. Hey, we have this. We're getting these. Most of them didn't even ask. They just went and got some beans or whatever it was. We got a chicken. Wow. I mean, not a chicken, a turkey from two people, and then a ham from somebody else. So we did a ham dinner and two turkey dinners. It was just the cool. But the even cooler part is we just went kind of with our spirits to find some people. And the group I was in, and the other people that were in the other two groups have some really cool, they have a really cool story too. But I was in one, and we drove by a trailer park, and there was like an RV portion to it, and there was this RV, and it had all these kid toys around the RV. So we're like, we just felt really drawn to this RV. And you know, it's November in Utah, cold, and they're living in an RV. You could just tell. Freezing. And we knock on the door, and it was this retired vet and his two little kids and his wife in this little dinky RV. And at first he's like, what the crap? Because we're all excited and we have all this stuff. And he's just like, and the little kids are, oh, wow. They're just so excited. It was the coolest thing ever.
Nice.
We were all bawling. And it's
just, service is such a powerful thing. And when you're given without getting, it was just a super memorable thing. But anyway.
Awesome. That's awesome. Anyone else want to share?
I can bring it down about seven notches from that, but still tell kind of a random thing. So this past Monday, for those who looked up at the sky.
No, that was amazing.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle of the day, the sun just about vanished around here.
It got cooler, too, like 15 degrees.
There's some weird shadows on the ground.
Pretty sweet stuff. My family went out in front of our house, and my wife had got the eclipse glasses for us, and we were out there, and basically what happened, the good part was we were out there and we had neighbors just start to come around, and it was so cool to just be able to say, oh, here, you know, take a look through the glasses. And my kids had made the little pinhole projectors so you could, you know, look inside a cereal box and see an image of the sun in there. And it was just really fun to see the neighbors come together. That's and cool. even one neighbor was just driving by in their car and they stopped and like, are those eclipse glasses? Could my kids look? We didn't get any. And it was just so much fun to be able to share that little thing of like, here, just, you know, put them on, look up for a minute and enjoy. It wasn't a big thing. You know, it wasn't hours of planning or anything else. It was just going out there and saying, let's, you know, the neighbors are here. Why don't we share with them?
Creating good in the world. It's not hard.
It's not hard.
community. I mean, that's just such a big thing and something that we don't experience as much as we maybe want to or used to. Yeah. And it feels good to be with people. You know, I think we talk a lot about doing good and being good, or being good and doing good. And we're all doers. And that's a real big part of hashtag.
Be good, do good.
It's kind of ingrained now.
of what we do. But at times we get to be those that receive the good and goodness of others.
Yeah,
and we talk about the relationships we have of helping each other and mentoring and coaching and lifting and trying to, you know, to help our businesses and whatever that might be. But on a personal note, sometimes we need things personally. And I know I recently had a situation where I was just completely overwhelmed and it was unpredicted and I wasn't dealing with it well. And I called Kevin and we walked through it. And he helped me out, and he stepped up in a way that was just absolutely huge in the moment. And at what sacrifice to him and his family and his life and his day, but it shifted everything for me. Mm-hmm. And so being in that situation of being able to call upon a friend and say, you know what, I'm in trouble. I need some help here. I really, and have dropped everything and helped me out, talked me through. So that's hard. It's hard to receive, especially when we're doers. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to ask for help sometimes, particularly for people who you want to respect you, you know. Yeah. And you know, sometimes we're the teacher, sometimes we're the student.
Yeah.
But we can do good, and then sometimes we're on the end of receiving good.
And you can't be a giver without a receiver. And so if we were all givers, then nobody would get anything. I think we forget that that's a power. My sister used to tell me she had a boyfriend, and his best quality was that he was just so good at getting, when somebody gave him something or something, he was so grateful and thankful, and was just not, he was always so gracious when somebody, you know, because some people go, no, like give him a compliment or something, and they're like, no, you don't tell me that. Well, you're throwing away that give. And so it that's almost, we forget that getting things is just as important.
Yeah. But it can be difficult. I just think we ought to encourage one another when,
yeah,
you know, to sometimes you got to receive. You know, sometimes the bucket is empty, and to be able to ask, and then what's great is when you do ask, people show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at a grocery store a few weeks ago, and I thought I had my debit card with me, and I didn't, and I had a few items, and I was telling the lady, like, I'm sorry, I can't pay for this. The guy, you know, next to me goes, don't worry, buddy, I got it. And I was like, you sure? You know, we get that. Are you sure? Like, you're talking about, like, are you sure? He's like, no, man, I got to do something good for the day to day. So he did.
That's awesome.
It. That's my little story.
That's super cool. There are good people in the world, folks. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the news says. There are still good people in the world.
And can we put a quick plug in connection with EFL 360 Weekly?
Sure.
From that standpoint of, you know, there's a lot of people who come to the group to learn, to work on their marketing, to work on their business model, to do. But a lot of people come to give. You know, and it's about that and the relationships that we can create by creating community where we help one another and we lift one another. You know, Bobby, I can think of one night late at night when you and I took a walk around a park just because life was heavy. I can think of visiting with Ryan in the hospital, you know,
and
you know, I can think of you know, being with Kevin here recently when, you know, he's putting his arm around me and saying, okay, you can do this. Let's do this together. But it's through those relationships. So it's not just business. I mean, the be good, do good is a lifestyle. It's a way of being. And those who are part of the EFL 360 tribe, the EFL 360 Weekly, that's who we are. That's what we do. You know, and that's a
it's
big
not
deal.
Not just a networking group.
No, it's
not
much
just
more.
A place to find business or do business.
It's much more.
Bigger.
Yeah,
much
I just got to reach out, and we helped each other. Someone in the group, we were helping each other. So,
yeah.
And that happens and all the time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're going to go from this to, oh, nuts.
Oh, is there food? Where's that bag of peanuts, Bobby?
I heard
Kevin's hungry.
Food.
Well, I'm thinking there's going to be Italian pizza the way you're talking.
Oh, here we got some almonds.
Wow, you have all sorts of nuts.
That's Bobby Jones.
Yes, that's the sound of Bobby ripping open the package of almonds. Next, you're going to hear the
sound. I'm not going to talk while I eat this.
Next, you're going to hear the sound of almonds being chewed on microphone. All right.
I wasn't going to do that.
Where are we headed, Ryan?
Last episode, we talked about Graze.com and what they're doing at the people over there in Ghana. And I'm still on the campaign here for New Mexico. We still don't have any listeners in New Mexico.
Are you kidding me?
So if you're the first person to tweet, "I love New Mexico," we'll give you a free code for some Graze nuts.
Does that count for people in the room?
I love New Mexico. Oh, man, I'm in disturb mode. I can't
other
get
than
it out.
You four, or us
oh.
three.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't count.
I love
so
New
you
Mexico.
Get a free sample code that'll give you a free sample. You have to enter your credit card to get that gift card, but you can cancel at any time. Anyways, tweet it out. Go to twitter.com/BizForGoodShow. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Bobby for the show and the segments with our roundtable guests. Ta-da! Go.
I wanted to make an awkward silence because nobody's used to that.
So well done.
I was going to say, I have
that
never
was so
seen.
Uncomfortable.
I have never seen Bobby lack for words ever in
he
the time
me
that
up.
I have known
he
him.
Me,
I was
up.
Waiting for Ryan, and Ryan's like, "Okay, when are you going to explode?"
He was having a hot wing moment.
Yeah, it's hot. Okay, welcome, folks, to the show and to our main event.
Bing, bing.
Yeah. EFL's Founders Roundtable, where we talk about noise. This, I saw Jay talk about, you talked about the noise thing many, many months ago at a different event, and I was just like, yeah, so true. There is, in this world right now, we are bombarded constantly by this, that, and the other. And I keep thinking, you know, every time I hear a, "Hey, for $10 a month, you can do this great, wonderful thing," and I'm like, man, if I hit up every $10 a month thing, I would be way poor. I mean, I wouldn't have any money.
Yeah.
Because there are so many thousands of
subscribe,
my widget,
subscribe.
My thing, my app, mm-hmm. this, that.
$40 a month, $20
yeah,
a month.
This month, this, that, the other. But
well,
on
less
top
than
of
one
that,
cup of coffee a day.
Yeah.
And on top of that is they're all spitting out this marketing mumbo crap to try and get everybody's attention. It feels like you're at this giant circus and all the circus things are yelling and screaming at you for their snake oil this and their that. And how do we break through the noise, guys? That's the question we want to ask you right now.
Yeah.
How do we break through the noise?
Kevin's got something. I'm gonna share a little bit about the noise there. So just kind of think about how loud it is right now. It has never been more noisy than it is right now.
How many hours of YouTube video are uploaded every second?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you cannot consume it all if you tried.
No, it's crazy. On YouTube, there's 72 new hours of video loaded every minute of every day.
Yes.
On Google,
hours?
There's 4 million search inquiries every minute of every day. Facebook users share 2,460,000 pieces of content every minute of every day.
I am Twitter's, so getting behind.
Yeah.
getting that anxiety again.
277,000 tweets a minute. 216,000 Instagram posts a minute. Amazon makes $83,000 a minute in online sales. Apple users download 48,000 apps a minute. So just a few numbers with respect to how noisy it is. That's every single minute. And if all of those people are clamoring for our attention or our interest or our dollar or our loyalty or our commitment, and then what's happened in the last year, the noise has got turned up even more because it's not just asking for our loyalty, but it's asking us to buy in. And that's that whole fake news and all the things that we don't understand in the commentary, because anybody can publish anything at any time. And that now has created a noise level that is creating panic, overwhelm, disinformation, and such that historically was part of anarchy. It was part of wartime. There's not been so much disinformation ever since World War II.
And a lot of division.
It creates a lot of division. But what do you do? Where do you go? If you have 100 people telling you to go 100 different directions, and they're all, you know, this is the hack, really this is the way, yeah. and they're really adamant or persuasive, it does create overwhelm. So, and I know Kevin's got something huge here to say, but that's why our point in trying to help one another in our marketing, in our messaging, in our communications, is create to connect. How do we cut through the noise? We reach people individually. Because even though I may put a post out on Facebook amongst the, what was it, 2,460,000 a minute, it's going to individuals. It's going to their heart, their mind, their concerns, their worries. So,
and if you look at it like that, the one person you're going to impact, not the 40,000, then that's a whole different mindset.
Yeah.
So when you talk about that fake news and how much impact that's having, and I think about the propaganda, that propaganda's got such a bad rap, but because of World War II and because of the way it was used, but you look at the way that was used, that is all designed to cut through noise. It is all designed to appeal to a group who's going to believe it. It is designed to get their attention. It is designed to hold it, to rip them out of whatever they're doing and pay attention to this thing, either for the shock value or for the fact that we're telling you how evil your enemy is, or what, you know, whatever it is designed to do that, and it is effective because it's a message that is surprising and it's aimed at a group that they understand. And I think when we look at noise in the world and not being part of that noise, for a business, especially if we're trying to do good, how can we apply some of those same ideas? Because it's not just evil that uses propaganda. Propaganda, I mean, you know, when you look at World War II, the Germans used propaganda, so did the Americans. So I don't care which side of the war you thought should have won, the good guys and the bad guys were using this tool. And we look at our world today, the good guys should be able to use these tools as well as the bad guys.
You could just say it's marketing.
How is it not?
But that's what it what it is. It's just a different word. It's just a synonym.
Yeah.
And so Kevin's suggesting, right, that we just take the effectiveness of propaganda, how it works, the mechanics, the hows, but put it with our own messaging. What is that, you know, what does that look like? One, it looks like knowing who you're speaking to.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, because just what you identified, they
and
knew.
And what they want to hear.
And then what they want to hear, what we want them to hear, what they will listen to.
What resonates. What resonates. Mm-hmm. And that's where needing to know a customer or a listener, not just spitting it out to the world.
Well, and when we talk
direction.
Yeah, when we talk resonates, I mean, 10% off doesn't resonate. Right?
But 90% does.
It may.
No, I'm just kidding.
And it may. For the right target market, 90% definitely resonates. If my wife is listening, I love you.
Hi, Nicole.
But maybe the people you're trying to reach don't care if it's 10% off. Maybe there's a benefit to what you're doing that is far more important than a 10% discount. And if you're constantly talking about 10% off or 15 or even 20, you know, it's like, I'm going to discount this for you, but you're not saying this, you know, what I offer you is going to change your life in this way. It's going to change the way you interact with the world. If you can find what really resonates, you won't have to be doing 10% off, which is just more of the noise.
It is.
Hmm.
It is just more of the noise.
I appreciate that.
And especially if everybody's saying 10% off.
Yeah.
I think the other side of the coin,
it means nothing.
And that's the other side of the coin of the propaganda, where it can create noise, is that if everybody is basing things on fear, if everybody is just, you know, not acting with integrity, you know, not acting in truth, then it just, you know, everywhere we look, we get into a panic mode. And what panic do we believe? What fear do we believe? You know, what fear do we feed? And it's noisy right now.
And then we become numb, and then nothing's effective.
Or then we choose out in that numbness, right? We withdraw from it. But what about the message we do need to hear? What about the proper information, that which would help us? Mm-hmm. Then we don't hear it.
Yeah, because we've toned out.
Because we're we've toned out. Yeah. We've tuned out.
That's so. Yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin. You were going to say something.
I don't even know what I was going to say. It's just this much discussion right here, I think, is more cutting through noise than most of the market is doing at all. You know, when you look at it, and how much advertising do you see that looks exactly the same?
Too much.
You know, it's like, you know, well, Coke did this 2 years ago. Maybe we should do this. Or, you know, it's like, no, unless you're Coke. And even they aren't doing it anymore, right? But there's so much Me Too. And one of the things we talk about, no business is a Me Too.
None.
Why did anyone start the business? It's not to be exactly like the competition.
Because they have a difference.
Yeah, I remember talking to a marketing person, like a high-end marketing guy with a big giant firm, and he was saying, you know, when you watch commercials and videos and stuff, the interesting thing is when you see a commercial that says, hey, we're better than so-and-so, that always means that they're second.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, marketing traditionally does that a lot. If they're, and I remember right after he was talking about that, I saw this Ford commercial, and it was like, "And we're better than Toyota." And I just thought, "Oh, so that tells me Toyota's number one, and you're number two or 12 or whatever."
You're afraid of whoever else you're talking about.
And I just thought, how sad that is the traditional marketing piece to try and leech on to the leader and say you're better. That's your marketing. To leech on to the leader and say we're better. It's just like, wow.
The other side of that, the leader never mentions anybody the competitor.
Else. Yep, and that was
when
his
was
piece.
The last time that Coke mentioned another soft drink in one of their ads? Ever.
Why would they?
1723. I mean, they have not had a reason to for 100 years. They have led the market. Then you look at their number two competitor, which I think we can generally say is PepsiCo. And Pepsi's ads are so much... I mean, you look at their history, and it's like, we taste better than Coke.
Prefers us over Coke.
Yeah, we're more fun than Coke. We
catch
Coke.
Michael Jackson's hair on fire. Yeah. You know, better than Coke does.
You know, and you, I mean, the same thing when you look at...
Yeah, that was way back.
Yeah. You go to the rental car market. Right. I mean, even there, you know.
We don't support or condone these companies.
Yeah. Thank but you, Ryan.
Ryan's in overwhelm. Yeah. Breathe. Remember, breathe.
And not saying that any company is better than another, but it's interesting to see the noise and the cutting through the noise. You know, a few years ago in the rental car, you had Hertz being the big dog and Avis trying harder.
We try harder.
We're not number one, but we're going to work harder than number one. Which I think was starting to cut through a little bit of noise. They stopped mentioning the big dog, and they just said, we work harder for you.
So how can we, as small business owners, what can we do to cut through the noise? To give our brand, to connect with people differently than all the crap that's out there. What can we do, guys?
I have two. Can I mention the two?
Yes. One at a
no,
time.
No, this is not your show. Oh, wait a minute, Ryan. It is your show. Yes, you can mention too.
Sweet.
The first one is identify your main marketing methods and just stick with those for a while. Don't, and just forget everything else, maybe is an option.
The new shiny object that comes up just that says this works better.
Let's try these five widgets or whatever and then just go, right?
Business squirrel.
Which I think leads me, and I want to say this because it's like YouTubers, like we got YouTubers that have 10 million followers, and I really believe the biggest thing that cuts through the noise is consistency.
Exactly.
Consistency. Being consistent. Being there every day. I mean, these kids are there every day, and my kids are watching them every single day. And it's just because they're consistent. And they're entertaining too, but that consistency is huge. You can't start a podcast, you can't do a YouTube channel and put out one every few weeks, a month, every couple months, and expect to get some kind of following.
And then, because it seems like as soon as I sit down to work on marketing, it's like, what direction do I go? I get confused. Like, there's just so well, I could try this app. I could try this thing. I could do this widget.
There's all the marketing noise out there that is going to tell you about the marketing that you can do.
And they'll tell me like what's really good and what's why they should do that, why I should do that. So
for only $29.95.
That's right.
A month.
So I would just kind of...
Or $2,990 or
yeah.
$100,000 and we're totally going to hook you up.
Yeah.
So I think following your intuition and not buying into a lot of these and getting anxiety, I need these. What's going to work for my company and be more focus-driven? And then also what we need to do is get in connection with our customers more on an intimate level. Now, I don't know...
Be real? Oh, what? How crazy yeah. is that?
Wow.
There
wow.
is also these guerrilla tactics, which I... It's so funny, this guerrilla. To me, it means grassroots. When I hear guerrilla marketing, I'm thinking grassroots. And I think those type of marketings are more meaningful. Yeah. Rather...
They're you more know, again. They're more real. Usually, they're how do I really connect with the people in the jungle?
Two things that I just heard Ryan say: know your customer, know your message. Who knows their customer? Who knows their message?
To break through the noise.
To break through the noise. And honestly, how much? If you can do those two things and you can connect your message and your customer, I don't care if 99 and 95, 100% or whatever that is that you know you can doesn't even get it. If your customers are that one portion of 1% and they get it and your message resonates with what they get, you own those customers.
And you're going to have an impact.
You will have an impact. And they aren't going to care about the noise. They're not going to hear the noise.
Because for me, I have my life. I've got things that I need, want, desire. And when I'm going through this noise of life, I'm going to get bombarded with all this fluff. But then there's going to be stuff that resonates just with me and what I need and what I want. Mm-hmm. So finding out a narrowing, how to reach those, what the message is, and how to narrow that down.
And that's why everybody's not our tribe, right? Everybody's not our target market. And Kevin, the third thing I heard Ryan say was, go with what really works.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's very, very clear. There's a lot of hacks, and there's a lot of hacks both out there. And go with what really works. I think for those of us who might be struggling in our marketing, and struggling and cutting through the noise, and what we hear most often at EFL and in the work that we do is, you know, I tried, I did, I posted, you know, randomly. Bobby, you brought it up. Start with being authentic. Start with your message. Why did you get into business? Why is your product better? Why are you doing what you're doing? Not the competitor's message or the competitor's benefits or the competitor's features, but what are yours? So being authentic. And a second thing, and again, this sounds so simple, but life has proven that the golden rule really is the golden rule. Mm-hmm. Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. And that helps us identify how to reach our tribe. What marketing messages resonate with me? How do brands reach Jay Taylor? You know, what is it I'm attracted to? If that's my market, well, I look at myself and I treat people the way I want to be treated, right? I don't want to be hyped. I don't want to be, you know, told something that isn't true, misled. So it's really interesting how the golden rule can help us to identify our tribe, but as well as identify what hows not to do.
So one quick side note on that, if I can. If you are, as you said, in your own target market, that's perfect. If you are not in your target market, if your business is serving someone who's not you, I'm going to propose a small twist on the golden rule. Do unto others as they would like to have done unto them.
Absolutely. Yep, that's
because
it.
Because if I am not my own target market, and there's a lot of business owners who aren't. I was in assisted living, and I was not, you know, a 70-year-old or 65-year-old woman who's trying to find a place to put her 85-year-old mother. I had to learn to recognize, what does my customer want? Yep. And that might not be the way I want to be treated. It could be very different. The message that resonates with them is very different than the message that would resonate with me. But I got to know that.
so powerful. Yeah. That's the point. If I don't know my target market because I'm not a member, I need to talk to them. Mm-hmm. I need to find out what they're looking for.
And we talk about it all the time that no input is good input. No information is really good information.
It's input.
When nobody wants what you're talking about and nobody's engaging with it, that's
feedback.
Really good information. And do that before you spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
Make sure you resonate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And learn how to speak to your people. I mean, Kevin, that's so powerful. And how, you know, how many of us market products or have target markets we're not a member of?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can feel for that market. You can want to support that market, mm-hmm. and help that market. You may not be that market, but you know that there's a niche. There's a place there to assist and be that be good, do good in the world. Yeah. But you still have to be able to resonate with them, yeah. and connect with them.
I know we're moving on here, but you know our title today was, you know, about creating to connect. And that's just maybe just that simple. As you create your marketing, as you create your messaging, as you create your marketing plan, do it in such a way that you're going to connect with your message and connect with your who you want to connect with, right? I mean, just that's a filter we can just use over and over and over. What am I creating, and is it going to connect? Or is it just creating noise? Is it just creating static? No, create to connect. And that means, like Kevin said, if it's just 1/100th of 1%, connect with that 1/100th of 1%. They're your people. They're your tribe. That's enough.
Yeah. It's huge.
I learned a lot here. This is awesome.
Yes. Good stuff.
We did forget the quote of the day. We'll leave with that. But any final comments?
You know, I'm just going to add the technology difficulty we face today. One of the microphones here was just spitting out static. And we were thinking maybe we keep it in and just have noise. Just so we recognize what
that was Kevin's idea. Me and Ryan are going, no.
But think about it. I mean, when you're hearing a lot of static, you just try and zone out, tune out everything. And that is honestly the biggest competition for getting your message out there, is not necessarily the noise you're making, but the noise all around and people tuning it all out and saying, I can't take in anything right now because it's too loud.
It goes back to what Jay said. When we are bombarded so much that mm-hmm. we become numb, we don't get to hear the message we really want, because we've been basically killed for it.
Yeah. And so maybe part of creating that connection is helping people get through the noise.
Absolutely. Ooh, yeah. What a great approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looking at that alone.
And it's like, I don't even buy my stuff, but let me just tell you the disinformation. Let me tell you the problems. And if people start to listen and they recognize truth, and it resonates, you create a connection. You create a relationship. And
that's where some of the best marketing plans come from, giving away something of value, mm-hmm. something for free that actually has value. I know I've seen things and I've connected with like YouTube or an ad or something where they had a webinar that actually had real useful information, and wow, I wanted to go further because it wasn't a way to get me to buy stuff. It was actually worthwhile. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's the anomaly now.
Yeah,
that's really the anomaly now.
That happened for this first part of a webinar I watched, and I was so excited, like, they're giving me stuff here. I don't have to buy a book or something. And then at the last minute, I'm like, here we go. For the next 10 minutes, it was, you know, the buy-in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And if I can just do the shameless self plug here, the EFL 360 weeklies that we do are really our attempt to cut through that noise. That we try to say, okay, we know the problems. You know, we're living in it. We're entrepreneurs. We're founders. We're leaders. We're here. We get it. We see the noise. We see what Ryan just brought up. You know, here's this. And by the way, buy now. And, you know, I think it's one of the things we really do try and create is, let's get what really works. Let's cut through the noise. And without any expectation to buy or to, you know, it's like, just let the guard down. We're here to help. And I think that truly is rare. And mm-hmm. yeah, we're it's like tossing out the bad mic, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's work with what works
and give value to your customer.
Yeah. All right.
It's not rocket science, people, but it's valuable.
Yeah,
super valuable. Break through the noise. Care about your clients, connect with your clients, understand what your clients really want to hear and know, and you're going to go a lot further. And if you could assist them in killing the noise.
Serve them.
Serve them.
Yeah. Serve them.
It's not rocket science. You want to end with the
quote of the day?
Yeah, that's what you call it. That's why Ryan's here. He's.
I don't know if this goes with the show, but it says, better an oops than a what if.
Better an oops than a what if.
So just get out there, get your fingers.
Last words about that, dirt, guys. Come on. I know
the, you've the got best something. Thing to do
is the right thing.
The next best thing to do
is the wrong thing.
Oh, there we go.
And the worst thing to do
is nothing.
Boom.
That's a wrap.
Drop the mic.
Mic drop.
Hashtag
be good, do good.
Hashtag
be good, do good.
Hashtag
be good, do good.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.